Good morning, church. Good morning. Welcome you to our 10:30 service this morning as we join our hearts together in praise as we journey together through Advent. And today we light our fourth candle in the Advent wreath, getting closer and closer to our celebration of Jesus' birth. So will you stand with us this morning as we sing our joy to the world? You can use your hymnal or the words will be on the screen as well. Joy to the World, 125. Invite the Ulrich family this morning. They're going to lead us around the Advent wreath. This is our fourth week together.
Everlasting Sun.
Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above. Daniel 12:3. We're so close to Bethlehem, where we celebrate the birth of Jesus, the world's Savior. But let's pause to look behind his birth, even beyond the cross, resurrection tomb, and his ascension into heaven. Beyond them stands the second Advent, when Christ returns. Today's scripture points us to those end times.
The wise shall shine. The wisdom we have comes as a gift, of the Holy Spirit who creates a saving faith within us through water and through the Word. Reflecting the light of the world causes God's children who receive the crown of life to shine like the brightness of the sky. The brilliance reflects our Savior's glory, majesty, and power. You see, it's all about Jesus, the eternal light, who is all about loving us with an eternal love.
Jesus, let your light shine on us, that we might reflect your glory, light that no darkness can overcome. Amen.
Can I have the children come up front, please? All the children. Come on up. How you guys doing this morning?
Great!
Oh my goodness. Let's try that again on the count of three. One, two, three. How you guys doing this morning?
Good!
Adults, how are you guys doing this morning? It's pretty close. You guys ready for Christmas?
Yes.
Who's not ready for Christmas? Boy, it got silent really, really quick, didn't it? So I'm going to talk to you about something really quick. Seasons. So when I say the word seasons, what do you think of? You were here in first service. Jasmine?
Winter, spring, summer, and fall.
The four seasons. But there's something the Bible talks about, the different seasons in our life. Some good seasons, some bad seasons. Sometimes we're happy, sometimes we want to cry, sometimes they're okay. So we have seasons that change all the time in our life. But who's the one person that's the same in all of our seasons? No matter if we're having a good day, bad day, who's the same?
Jesus
is the same every day, no matter if we're crying, if we're laughing, if we're sleeping, no matter what. So I would like Linda Idris to come up front, please. Uh-huh. I know I had a fib to you. You're by. I'm here with you. The kids are here with you. We got you something. So that's why I was talking about seasons. What? You said I can't say nothing nice about you, remember? So what am I supposed to say now? All the bad stuff? No, not what you want. I'm just messing with you. So Linda stepped down from 32 years of volunteering the second and third, three-year-olds, if you can turn around. It's okay, they won't bite you, I promise.
Come here. I feel like they will.
They won't bite you, I'm here. It's
okay. See, I didn't want you to do this.
I know you didn't want me to do it. That's why I had to tell a little fib.
Okay.
So I just want to say that 32 years, I was with her for only 3 years.
Yeah,
32 years.
Yeah, you were here for 32.
I know I was here for 32. So she made my job easier, and you were such a blessing.
Thank
so
you.
This is my way of saying thank you for 32 years. And I'm sure I know you put a lot of crying, a lot of good days and bad days, a lot of stressful days. I'm sure you had some of them too. But we all want to say thank you for your hard work, especially me, and that's my gratitude and gift for you.
Well, I want to say thank you to everybody who has helped me out for 32 years. You know, every month. And when I look at the audience, I feel like most of them have been down there. And so much for a quiet getaway.
So just don't go anywhere. So the one gift in there is actually on the screen. I wanted to show everybody one of the gifts. And these were some of the children that we actually had last week. We took a picture for you.
Oh,
so that's actually
in there
for you. Yes, so we wanted to give that to you. So if the kids can stand up with me, please, we're going to pray over her because she just changed the season from 32 years of volunteering to here. Now she's changing a season in her life. So you guys can stand up really quick. It's a busy day. So you guys can come around her. Come here. She won't bite you, I promise. And I'm going to pray for her really quick. Come on, guys. I'm going to pray for her really quick. Okay? Ready? Dear Heavenly Father God, we just thank you for Linda, Father God, and just 32 years of just her sleepless nights, I'm sure, and just times of just crying, times of laughing, times of planting seeds, and Father God, we're just so blessed to have her here, Father God, and just the time that she put in, Lord. And I ask you, Lord, as she just goes through her next season in her life, Father God, that you just be with her, that you guide and direct her, Father God. And every footstep that she takes, it's you're with her, Father God, through every season of her life. And we just ask you to just bless her, Father God, and Just thank you for the love and the unconditional love and just the support that she gave to these kids, Father God. And I ask you just bless her. In your holy and precious name, and we all pray. Amen. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So you guys want to go back to your seats? You guys are staying in the sanctuary today.
Congratulations.
I don't think so. I'm a little older than that.
I know, you're my age.
No, I am not. I'm younger than you.
On behalf of SPR, the Staff Parish Relations Committee, and also the whole body, I want to just, we're going to just give a gift to for staff here. And we're so thankful and fortunate to have him. There's a verse in the beginning of 1 Thessalonians, verse Paul is writing to the believers there, and he says this, verse 2, "We always thank God for all of you, making mention of you constantly in our prayers. We recall in the presence of our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor motivated by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." So for all four of you, again, we give God praise and thanks for your work here produced by faith, for your labor of love here, and also for your endurance, again, inspired not by us, but by our Lord Jesus Christ. So would you join me in thanking them? And we want to just give them a little Christmas gift as we end this year and start a new year.
Barb has a word she would like to share with the congregation. Are there any joys or concerns in the congregation this morning? Continue to pray for Dennis Grubb as he continues to struggle with health concerns.
We'd like prayer for our Beth. He's had 4 days of seizures. Got word this morning that they finally stopped. Prayer
for Beth, who has been having seizures. For Sadie, who had some seizures, but who's getting good news from the doctors. For Brooke, who's going to be having a baby, and there's some health concerns there. All right. Is there anything else happening in your life, Hannah? So, congratulations on settlement, and as you prepare for your marriage and everything, we'll just keep you and Jordan in prayer. For Brad and his family who lost his mother. Well, let's pray. Remember, it's not just my time before God, it's all of our time, so feel free to pray as you feel led. Father, thank you for that great gospel message, that wonderful reminder, Father, that as we gather together, that your presence is right here with us. And Father, we want to breathe deep of that presence to uplift and encourage us, to guide and strengthen us, Father, that we will be your faithful children in everything we do. And Father, we lift up to you all those who are close to our hearts that do not feel welcomed by you, who feel separated from you. Father, we ask that you place people in their lives to proclaim that gospel message, to remind them that you desire to call them your holy and beloved child. And we lift them up before you now. Father, for everyone who's close to our hearts that needs your healing presence, Father, we ask that you could restore them to full health for your glory, and we lift them up before you now. Father, for Beth and for her family, Father, we ask that you would guide and direct the doctors, that you would remove the seizures from her and restore her body to full health for your glory. Father, we are grateful for the good news with Sadie. We ask that you continue to uplift and encourage her, strengthen and lead her. Father, for Brooke and for her child, that your healing presence would be with them, that you could bring that child safely into this world. Father, for all those who are mourning the loss of a loved one, especially at a season that typically is filled with joy, Father, that your presence would uplift and encourage him, Father, especially for Brad, for his family, for Jean, and for her family as they mourn the loss of a parent, that your peace that passes all understanding would uplift and encourage him. Father, for Jordan and Hannah as they go through this busy and difficult season, Father, that your peace, your love and grace would uplift and encourage them, guide and strengthen. And Father, we lift up to you the leaders of this congregation, of this community, of our state, of our country, and of this world, that you would give them hearts for you and you alone, that they would seek your righteousness, your justice, and your peace here on earth for your glory. Father, most of all, we lift ourselves up to you, that you could fill us with your Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us, that we would be faithful disciples of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we would see that day, Father, when every knee would bow and every tongue would confess that you are Lord. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So we've been walking through the scriptures, and I've told you, I know I can't address every single scripture going through, so we picked some pretty big topics, and my hope is by getting a good overview of them, it will help enlighten and empower the way you read other scriptures. And so we have gone through the Old Testament. We're basically finishing up the sermon series today, and in the New Testament, it starts really with silence, that 400 years of silence between the Old Testament and the New Testament. That reminder to us that even in the midst of silence, God's presence is still working. And all through Scripture, in the middle of these silent moments, in the middle of the wilderness, God is working, and eventually a greater revelation comes out. And so after that 400 years of silence is the great revelation of Jesus Christ, that light that shines into the chaos of our world. Because sometimes our world feels like this, amen? We've got this great chaotic mess. But in the midst of that great chaotic mess, God's light shines into the darkness. And I said just that fact in and of itself is a statement that God is concerned about the whole of you. That as Christ walked the planet Earth, he was not just concerned about your spirit, but he was concerned about people's physical bodies, their emotional bodies, their mental health. He was concerned about the whole of who you are. And that in and of itself should give us reason to praise God, knowing that he would step into our chaos. But ultimately he did it so that he could die on that cross for all the sins of all time. And we cannot stress that enough, that this was complete, that everything that we might feel separates us from God was taken down on the cross, that his death was not in any way, shape, or form incomplete, but the totality of sins for all eternity have been covered at that moment. So when you look at me and you think to yourself, I am not good enough. How many of you ever felt not good enough? All right, the rest of you are all lying, because I guarantee you, you have had moments in your life when you have not felt good enough. And the gospel message is Christ paid for all your faults and failures. It is done. It is finished. There's nothing that can separate you from God because of the death of Jesus Christ. And we hold fast to that gospel message. And again, if that was the end of the story, that's a pretty awesome ending. Amen? I live in the chaos of life, but at least I get heaven at the end. But I don't think that's the end of the story. I think God's grace, his love is even bigger than simply that. And so we come to the end with this great statement in the Gospel of Matthew 28, beginning at the first verse. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came down to look at the tomb. Look, there was a great earthquake, for an angel from the Lord came down from heaven. Coming to the stone, he rolled it away and sat on it. Now his face was like lightning and his clothes as white as snow. The guards were so terrified of him that they shook with fear and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Don't be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here because he's been raised from the dead, just as he said. Come see the place where they laid him. Now hurry, go and tell his disciples. He's been raised from the dead. He's going on ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. I've given the message to you." With great fear and excitement, they hurried away from the tomb and ran to tell his disciples. But Jesus met them and greeted them. They came and grabbed his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers that I'm going into Galilee. They will see me there." Now as the women were on their way, some of the guards came into the city and told the chief priests everything that had happened. They met with the elders and decided to give a large sum of money to the soldiers. They told them, "Say that Jesus' disciples came at night and stole his body while you were sleeping. And if the governor hears about this, we will take care of it with him, so you will have nothing to worry about." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were told. And this report has spread throughout all Judea to this very day. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Jesus came near and spoke to them. I've received all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Look, I myself will be with you every day until the end of this present age. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for that great promise that you will be with us every day, even to the end of the age. And so, Father, we want to breathe deep of that presence. Breathe deep of that promise that it would be your words that are proclaimed and heard for your glory. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So it really would be enough. It really would be enough if God simply came into this chaos of our life and set his light. And we could live our little chaotic lives and at least know that when we die, we get set free from all of this. But that really is not the end of the story. When Christ comes down after his resurrection, the gift he gives to the people is the Holy Spirit, his very presence, saying, I don't want you to just sit there and remain in your chaos. The promise is that if you fully submit to me, I will mold and make you. I will help create order out of your chaos. And just like a potter takes that lump of clay and works it and turns it into something different, that is the promise God gives to us through all eternity, that every single believer in Christ doesn't have to stay stuck in chaos. But it demands you being willing to hand the whole of you to God. See, where the analogy falls apart is a clay is powerless. It cannot possibly do anything to the potter. But for us, we can choose not to submit to the potter. We can fight the potter. But the Holy Spirit's promise is that as we breathe deep of his presence and we allow God to work in our lives, he can transform us. Now, you know, it dawned on me this morning, it's been almost exactly 27 years since I've been saying to God, I want you to mold me, and I still recognize there are times in my life when I feel chaotic. Anyone else feel that way? And I begin to wonder, how come in 27 years am I not this beautiful little pot that I expected to be? And the truth is, in the New Testament, there's this really cool combination. The Holy Spirit is forever linked to the church, or the body of believers. The word church never, ever, ever means a building in Scripture. Always, always, always means those called out, the body of believers. And all throughout the New Testament, when it talks about you being holy, it is always, always, always plural. It is not about God's ability to make each one of us perfect individually. It's about God's ability to work within each of our lives and somehow bring these chaotic, broken people together and bring forward God's grace. And if you want me to tell you I believe in miracles, one of the biggest miracles I see is the fact that as broken as we can be, as damaged and hurt and as imperfect as we as individuals are, somehow God's message of grace keeps getting spread down through the centuries through us. Amen? And that has to take the power of the Holy Spirit. And that is where I feel the church has to remain rooted and grounded in that power, in that presence, that 2,000 years ago, God started with a handful of people all the way on the other side of the world, and they, with the power of the Holy Spirit, have spread that message, and it has come to us. And now it's our job, as broken people, still being molded by the Holy Spirit, to spread that message further. See, I think as great as it is that God's light shined in the darkness, as wonderful it is that his death covered every single fault and failure you could ever possibly imagine, it's even more wonderful to be a part of a body of believers who experience that light in life, the true light in life that God has come to offer, that he does not want you to stay in chaos. He wants you to be set free in his presence. And so as we listen to the cantata this morning, it is a reminder to us that we are called to be more than a chaotic people. We are called to be people transformed by God's very presence, the Holy Spirit at work in His body, so that the whole world would know the love and grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As we listen to the words, may God's presence mold and make you this morning. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for that great gift of the Holy Spirit that for 2,000 years has been empowering your body, your church, those called out, imperfect as we might be, to share that gospel message, that hearts and minds and lives would continue to be transformed by you. Father, help us as individuals to breathe deep of that presence. Help us as your body to breathe deep of that presence, that you would mold and make us, that we would experience your light and your life so that we can bring that light and life into this world for your glory. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
I'm going to invite the ushers to prepare to wait on us for our tithes and offerings and excuse the choir to the back to prepare to come in. And just a few announcements. If you haven't checked the post office in the back for your Christmas greetings, please do so before you leave. It is busting at the seams. Today was your last day to mail the letter, your cards to church family, but we'll have them over the next few weeks for you to pick up. So please make sure you check that before you leave today. We're excited for our Christmas Eve services coming up. We will be having a 5 o'clock service, which is very kid-friendly, and will be short and sweet for the little ones. 7 o'clock will be our family service with candle lighting, and then at 10 o'clock, our communion and candle lighting service as well. And Pastor Rob forgot to announce his Blue Christmas service, which is tonight. And it's a special service, just recognizing that this time of year can be difficult, whether you're in grief or in the midst of a struggle. So we're hoping that tonight will be a time of healing for people that find themselves feeling that way. It's also a great opportunity, as we heard in Sunday school, Eric shared this phrase today, you can hold hope for someone. And I just really loved that phrase. What a great way to hold hope for someone, to bring them tonight if you know they're struggling, and just hold hope for them as you sit and worship with them through healing. So that's at 7 tonight if you would like to join us. All right, let me pray for us, and then we're going to sing together the first Noel as the ushers come. Father, it is such a joy to just be able to gather with one another in worship, corporately, Lord, as the body of Christ. And God, what a cool picture we just saw of each of us coming together to form that cross, to form your kingdom here on earth. And Father, part of that is our responsibility and obedience and giving. So, Lord, as we do that with cheerful hearts tonight, or today, God, would you just bless each gift, and may you use it, Father, to further your kingdom here on earth. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Let's sing together the first Noel.